Hi, welcome to Watchbox, and thanks for logging on. Jason's back
for
another episode of the Trading Desk. Jason, you were in Florida.
I was in Florida.
Yeah, what were you doing there?
I was enjoying myself. I was getting some sun.
Yeah.
And visiting some family.
Yeah. See any weapons you like?
I bought some watches. I bought some other things.
Hey!
It was a good time. It's always good to get home for a couple days. It was too short, but I'm back.
Cool, man. All right. Well, we're happy to have you back. Yeah. George was a good fill-in for you last week.
Yeah.
Kicked my butt on the this or that again.
I watched the show. I liked it. Thought it was pretty good. Seemed to be pretty well-received. A lot of the guys watching seemed to like it. So I think George will be back on whenever we don't have a regular guest.
Yeah, I got to learn how to not interrupt George, probably you too, but that was the criticism I was getting all week.
The number one thing I was thinking is you and I talk all day nonstop, so yeah. I think we probably understand each other a little bit better than maybe you and George don't have as many conversations in and out, so maybe that has something to do with it, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Also, let me not slam coffee right before the show. Yeah. All right, cool, man. So let's go ahead and get started. Again, thanks for logging on, guys. Let me go ahead and get in the live chat. If you're watching, go ahead and get in the live chat as well. We do pay attention to that, and we'll be looking for some good questions to fill the time. And turn off the sound on your computer, Jason. All right, let's start with a wrist check. Jay, what do you got?
For my wrist shot, I am wearing my... You guys see these lovely boxes on here, and this is going to go into this to the show a little bit later, but I am wearing my fancy 510, and I'm sure you guys can see all of the lovely scratches and nicks on this. This is a wearer for me. Happen to have it on this strap, which I like quite a bit. It's an OEM strap. 510 is a basically the modern iteration of the 111, so it's a 8-day in-house manual sub-second. This one is the sausage dial, which we found out will only be made for 2 years on the 510.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I don't know. Is that what you were told?
I'm telling you, not asking you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Understood.
Awesome watch. I like it quite a bit. It's an 8-day power reserve, but I get like 9.5, almost 10 days out of the power reserve. So for now. And then in 2 years, it might need a service, and I get 5 days. So for now, it's awesome. I'll keep you apprised of the situation.
Cool. I heard you might be doing a little trade ski.
I don't know. You know what? I was thinking about a 305.
Yeah, nice watch.
I've always loved a 305.
So not the 1305.
I am from the 305.
That's right.
So it kind of has a secondary meaning to me. But
And so not the 1305, not the newest iteration.
No,
with the
blue hand. 305 better than the 1305.
Agreed.
Personally. Yeah. I think all of the second generation, like one slants, or I kind of like the previous ones all better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling that way too, but eventually we'll get used to them. So, all right, let's go ahead and check what's on my wrist. Go ahead and get that. Ooh, look at that. That is a Speedmaster Professional, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah.
So that's upside down one. But yeah, it's awesome.
42 millimeter Speedmaster Professional. So this one's a test drive right now. I have, I've never owned a Speedmaster, and I've always wanted to own a Speedmaster, and every time it comes up, something else comes up. Last time I bought a Rolex, so I'm thinking this might be the next piece of the puzzle here for me. This one's a 005 with the Hessellite and the closed case back. I don't know, guys. Tell me what you think. Do you think I should do it? Should I pull the trigger, or maybe I already have? I have not, but I don't know. I like it a lot. I'm loving it right now. The only problem is that I can't wear it in the water, but that's why I have my handy dandy Panerai PAM 002. Oh, you want to get a? Go ahead. Tricking out the cameraman. PAM 002. That's right. This thing's beat to hell. And look at that dial. That's called water damage, guys, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
All right. So, wrist shots. Next, let's get to this or that. Hey. All right. So, today's this or that was the idea. Well, I picked the first watch. Jason picked the second watch this week.
He did.
So, the idea that I had was, a versatile dress watch. Okay. So, keep that in mind. Versatile dress watch. Jason picked a Panerai. So I picked a watch from a manufacturer that I really love, Parmigiani. This is the brand that's owned and operated sort of, I guess, by Michel Parmigiani, who's a living watchmaker, unbelievable watchmaker, owned by a small family. And basically, from what I understand, the brand doesn't make any money and they don't really care. But this watch is the Tonda 1950, so named for the birth year of Michel Parmigiani. It's a 40 millimeter, 39.5 millimeter Tundra shaped case. So it's a round case with these like squared lugs, which are beautiful. You could see, if I turn it over, you could see an amazing in-house caliber micro rotor, ultra thin, 8 millimeters thick. So probably about half or less than half of the thickness of my Panerai, and definitely less thinner than the Panerai that Jason picked, which was a little bit of a weird selection for a dress watch. So if you're thinking about this or that for a versatile dress watch, I'd say go ahead and vote Parmigiani. Tundra 1950. And also the price point on this has a 17.5 retail. And again, we talked about it before. This would be a watch that would fall under the value play. Certainly not something that's going to hold a lot of value. This one's in white gold with a graphite dial, in-house movement, right, micro rotor. And we have this watch listed on our website for $89.50. And if you wanted a deal on it, you probably could give Jason a call. And he'd give you a good deal on that watch.
I would definitely give you a good deal on that. I don't know that watch is... I don't think anybody's ever bought that watch at retail.
No, yeah. 17.5 is a little bit too much, though. The other thing to note, that their straps are made by Hermes, so you have a black croc Hermes strap and a white gold tang buckle as well.
So that if you guys, Josh is trying real hard to win this or that this week. I don't know if you guys can tell the difference or not, but he Googled everything he just said right before the show and read
what do you mean?
All about the watch.
Listen, I was born with this knowledge. Yeah.
All right, Tim. So here's what I want you guys to
Eric Nielsen says Josh wins for reading. Hey, you know what? The fact is that
reading is fundamental.
That's right.
And it's fun. So here's the thing. Please vote for Josh, okay? We're going to give him a win this week.
No, you don't have to give me anything. I picked a better watch.
God knows he already voted for himself.
That's true.
So here's the thing. Josh, first of all, dress watch was not part of the category. Josh said, I'm going to pick this watch. It's a micro rotor. It's cool. I said, all right, well, here's a micro rotor. I'm not going to try too hard to find something that's going to be you. I just think this is a cool watch. So this is the 619.
It's fake news, Jason. You're lying right now. Don't lie to the public.
I personally have never been a big fan of the Radiomir, but when I do like the 1940s, I think if I was going to own a Radiomir, it would be the 1940s case. I like the crown better. I like the lugs a little bit better, similar to the regular Luminor case. And just between that crown and these lugs, I feel like this watch wears better. This is the tobacco or brown dial, and then you have the micro rotor as well.
That's a highly finished movement there, Jason.
This is definitely a more durable watch than the Parmigiani. No question there. It's titanium as opposed to
white gold.
White gold.
So yeah, white gold, going finer to be material, Jason.
Way more durable. Way more water resistant. This has a screw-down crown. Does the Parmigiani have a screw-down crown?
It does not, Jason. It's a dress watch.
So similar to the Speedmaster, which you just said kind of sucked because you couldn't take it in the water.
Kind of sucked.
Worst case scenario, this gets wet, you're good. Screw-down crown. So listen, is it the best dress watch ever? No. Is it a good intermediate type of watch? I believe so. And for $7,000 as opposed to $9,400, you could have that and the Speedmaster.
$89.50. Right, and that's the asking price, Jason.
So $7,000.
Get it right. $7,450.
$7,450. Right. You call me within 24 hours, I'll sell that to you for $7,000.
Oh, God.
You can have that and the Speedmaster.
You're just giving things away today, Jason, aren't you?
That and the Speedmaster. I'm giving away wins. Trying to give away the wins.
Yeah, well, listen. The Parmigiani's a better watch, all right? Just
please vote for Josh.
Stop. That's not nice. You know what? I'm going to quit in a minute. All right. So, yeah, guys, that's a this or that this week. We have a Parmigiani and a Panerai, within the – hey, look at that.
Hey, it's working.
Hey, look at that. It's working. You know why? Because it's a better watch. You're giving up on purpose. You're trying to –
there is a version of that Tundra.
Yeah.
The blue meteorite dial that I've said on the show before, and that's the
–
In steel, blue meteorite dial, micro rotor, same watch, but that's the probably the only Parmigiani like for me that I would own.
I understand
that exact model.
It's a little larger now, though, too.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I don't like the Tundra. I think Parmigiani's cool. There's so many watches that they make that you have to ask yourself like, why was that made?
I don't disagree with that. They make a lot of watches that are hard, but again, I think it's they're not making watches for the masses. They're making watches that speak to Michele Parmigiani, who by all accounts is an amazing human being, great watchmaker, very thoughtful individual. I think he came from Patek, like everyone else, right. Seems like Laurent Ferrier. But that's so these remind me of Laurent Ferrier a little bit, where they're understated.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
You can make a face. It's a nobody saw it. He made a face.
I made no face. Fake news over here.
So, I mean, obviously, Laurent Ferrier is a step well above Parmigiani, but
yeah,
you get an
so.
Essence of that from a living watchmaker who puts a lot of passion into his watches.
Sure.
So I don't vote Parmigiani. I think it's a great watch. I think that if you're looking for something to add to a collection, it's certainly not a thing, not a watch to start your collection with, but it's a great piece to add if you're looking, if you don't really like dress watches, and you're looking to add a watch that you need to have, like, you know, in a setting with a suit and things like that. It works. It works very well.
I will go on record and say, on the drive over here, I told Josh I can't stand the strap that's on this Panerai. And
The thing is, you put that watch on a
that
on
watch
a Croc
on
strap.
This strap.
Okay. If you want to dress it up, you put that on a black Croc strap. It's
or a brown
that's a totally
Croc
different watch.
Of the dial.
Yeah, that's a beautiful watch though too. All right, guys.
That's enough of that.
That's enough of that. All right, cool. So keep voting. We'll go ahead and check, and we'll see if I looks like I'm killing it. That's right. BS says Josh is killing it. You know why? Because he picked a better watch.
It's a weird YouTube name.
That is weird. Yeah. That's so is like Evox 43712B, but we'll talk about that later.
That's true.
All right. So let's get into the market analysis today. Which is not really a market analysis or really market assessment, but it's
we like
a,
the graphic.
We do like the graphic. We don't really have another one. So today, instead of talking about, you know, what watches are worth what and what's going up and what's going down and things like that, we wanted to highlight a scenario that came up this week. And so basically a question that we get a lot of times from like new customers, especially new collectors, is are fakes an issue, or how do I spot a fake, right? So normally we feel like, no, fakes are not really an issue. They don't really get into the market. It's not like there aren't guys out there actively, you know, known guys out there actively trying to sell fake watches. That's not really a thing. There are guys out there, you know, messing with vintage watches, that happens, or selling what we call Frankenstein watches. So, you know, switching out dials and things like that, that'll make watches more valuable. But you wouldn't call that fake. That's not in the era of fake. But so this week we had a scenario, and I'll go ahead and detail the scenario. Right, we have a customer who's actually a pretty good customer. Does a lot of trading with us. He's a guy that gets tired of his watches very quickly. So within weeks of buying one watch, he'll trade it for another. Right, and does that constantly with us. In doing so, he's always trying to get the best price and pushing. And sometimes we can't make a deal, which is fair. You know, right? So this gentleman wanted to buy, probably about 6 weeks ago, he wanted to buy a Panerai 441, which is the Tutanero. It's a ceramic one, which I'll show you in a minute if you guys aren't familiar with the reference numbers the way I am. So he wanted to buy that watch from us, and he said that he had found it from somebody else for about $500 less than we were offering, and we were just tapped out. We couldn't go any lower.
Right.
So he went ahead and bought that watch, right? So 6 weeks go by, and he wants to trade that watch because now he's tired of it for another one of our watches. And, you know, we made a deal. So he goes ahead and sends in that watch. So the watch shows up, and this is what we see. So we receive a box. Looks like this, all right? This watch, I believe, is supposed to be a 2017 or 2018.
Right.
All right, so that's, for somebody who knows about Panerai, it's a red flag already.
First flag, yeah.
Okay, so we receive a box, all right? We open the box. We see this is the outside covering. I don't know if we can get we probably won't be able to get a great shot of that. But it's basically generic, like woven felt, right?
Right?
There you go, great shot here. All right, second red flag, okay? We see Pearwood box. Looks decent. No huge red flags from the Pearwood box, okay? Let's go ahead and open this up. Then we open the box, right? We see something a little bit weird. You can see that that nameplate right there. If you're not staring at Panerai all day long, maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, right? I see that. I see a fake box.
Yeah.
All right? Doesn't mean the watch is fake at this point, but certainly the box is counterfeit, okay? So we go ahead and open the box, and what do we see inside? Can we get a close-up? Here. All right. So we see a generic screwdriver, a insert that looks a little weird, a cover that looks totally strange, and a strap that feels and looks a little off. Okay?
Not to mention the elastic straps that hold everything down are worn out and put, and this is supposed to be a 17-18 watch.
That's right.
Right, you know, so...
Yeah, exactly.
So things are not adding up at this point.
Things are not adding up, right? So we We see the watch, take it off the pillow. Again, this pillow is not made by Panerai. They don't make pillows that look like this. Okay? Not currently. All right? So, but you look at the watch. Let's see if we can get a close-up of here. I know we're putting the cameraman to work today. All right. So, first glance, seems okay, I guess. If you're not a Panerai guy, this might be something that you might want to spend, you know, $8,500 on, because I believe that's what he paid for this watch, or maybe it was a little bit less, around $8,000 right. He spent. All right. For me, the proportions on the crown guard are strange. Okay, that doesn't look right to me. Right,
and probably the first telltale.
Right, but exactly. But again, this is a guy who buys right. a lot of Panerai. Also, he didn't notice any of these things.
So wait until you see the back. Yeah.
So you see the movement. Okay. All right. So if you're not a Panerai, you know, aficionado or Panerista or somebody who looks at these things all day long, you might look at that and say, "Wow, that looks like a nice movement. That's good to go." Certainly not. All right. So at this point, all right, our inspection team determined the watch was fake. All right. A few other things. We'll show you some of the paperwork that came with it as well. Alrighty. How's the chat box? Are they enjoying this so far?
They're following along.
All right, cool. So we have a COSC cert, which I don't believe even comes with Panerai anymore, nope. any longer. All right, so we have a COSC cert.
Some it looks weird stamp
super weird,
the top of
funky, wonky. Alrighty. And not that this name matters at all, but I'll go ahead and block it out. All right, and then we have a card, right, with handwritten poorly, okay? First of all, Panerai doesn't use these cards at all anymore. You can see it's a 2018, right?
Right.
So Panerai doesn't even use anything that looks like this anymore.
It's not even a generic card. It's a fake card.
This is a fake card, right? And all the information on here is clearly fake. But though the numbers on the card here, this doesn't really matter again, but I'll just block out the name just for whatever reason. So the numbers, that BB number, is what's written on the watch, okay? All right. So again, all this stuff is counterfeit, but poorly for anybody who knows. And then they have what I guess was supposed to be the user manual, which turns out to be just weird junk, like on cardstock, and this is nothing Panerai would have ever made. All right? But look, they've gone to great lengths to fake the entire production here. All right, guys?
Even so much as...
What's that? Oh, okay. So here's the other thing. All right? So disclaimer, this did not come from this jeweler. All right? We confirmed this paperwork did not come from this jeweler. These are legitimate dealers in Chicago. They did not make this.
Right. So these guys are a classy operation. They're mm-hmm. legitimate dealers. They mm-hmm. went ahead and said that this is a counterfeit.
Completely 100%
of
counterfeit.
Their COA. So somebody got an appraisal.
Certificate of authenticity.
Right. Somebody got an appraisal from them or a certificate
right.
of authenticity.
So forge this certificate of authenticity.
This one.
Yeah.
So again, their names at the top, they are not associated with this fake watch.
Yeah, this did not come from Marshall Pierce.
Yeah.
So Marshall Pierce, legitimate dealer, this did not come from them. But you can even see somebody signed the bottom. This is total
counterfeit.
Total counterfeit, total fake news.
So they went out of the the numbers that are on that piece of paper match
the
numbers that are on the watch.
That's right.
Everything matches. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know any better, you look at that watch and then some of the materials, like if you the box, if you tap on it, feels like plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we bought the same exact watch. Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. All right, just to keep things cohesive. We're going to go ahead now. We're going to compare, and then we'll explain how a watch like this can get to a customer who does a lot of business and our thoughts and our experiences in terms of how fake watches can get out there. Because, you know, you would think, okay, well, then the dealer sold it to him, knew it was fake and sold it to him.
Right.
May not be the case. All right, Jason, why don't you pull open? So here we have a new or a pre-owned, but a real
genuine,
Panerai genuine 441. So right, first thing you notice.
First thing you notice, we're going to get a close-up on this guy right here.
Yeah. First thing you'll notice
is the size of the box. Okay, this is a newer generation Panerai box. It's the same size box that came with my 510, and no longer do they have like the full sleeve. It's like a quarter sleeve at the top. You notice the cardboard weight is much better, much heavier. Not a telltale sign, right? Polishing cloth.
So okay, again, slowly you can see. So the box is different shape. It has an actual soft polishing cloth.
Right.
This is how the Panerai boxes are shipped now, currently, with this type of styrofoam on the outside to keep everything
styrofoam
clear.
Here is to keep the box centered in the shipping box.
Let's not mix any of this stuff up.
No. Well, not pretty easy to tell them apart.
That's true. So we have the Pearwood box.
Pearwood box.
Here you
Do
go.
Me a favor. Close that box.
Yeah. So you can see the color and the sound.
Right.
I don't know if they could see in
color,
with this light. But that,
sounds,
so this one is a little bit lighter.
Hinges.
That's close enough. That's the thing. In pictures, it's going to be hard. Unless you get your hands on this or you understand what you're looking at, it's like you. This would look like that with beer goggles on.
Yeah. See if we can get...
All right, so there you go. So that's what the nameplate looks like on the inside.
See the nameplate? With the one that says... Here, you can see the two different ones.
Spammer eye. Exactly. Thanks, Clive.
And then...
And the movement does look off. That's correct.
Movement is
Matt,
off.
And we'll show you.
And then here, this is like a very nice soft velvet as opposed to this very tough kind of rag material. Mm-hmm. And here we see the telltale.
The real setup.
Real setup. So that's the actual Panerai screwdriver, right, with the black case.
So then this is the counterfeit crap.
Yeah.
And that's what Panerai actually supplies.
You see what
with
the two case protectors look like? The difference between the two case protectors?
Mm-hmm.
The straps, it's kind of hard to tell in pictures, but the difference is in the feel, right? With this, the real one, the authentic one, being a lot more silicone,
right?
A lot more malleable.
It's a little thicker, it's going to be a little softer, and it's going to have like a little sheen to it as well.
Here's what Panerai's pillow actually looks like.
I think that buckle is ceramic as opposed to PP, which is on here.
This is the actual Panerai pillow, right? Thin profile, no weird wonky edges like the other pillow. And... then we'll give you a close-up. Just took the case cover off. Look at the dial. See the proportions on the crown guard that we were talking about?
Yeah.
Being so much tighter.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody mentioned that, it's a telltale giveaway that the sub-second should be over the 9. Well, that's not the case, man. That dial, that's probably the closest thing on both of these. Here, you want to turn them right side up, put them side by side?
Yeah.
I know this is a little awkward and kind of wonky, but I think this is important to see. So you can see how much bigger the crown guard is on the fake one over here, right? But the colors are pretty damn close. Like, if you don't know what you're looking at it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, so maybe we could take the fake one off the pillow real quick so we can show the movements back to back.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
And this is something that, the reason we want to talk about this is because this is stuff that goes unseen. Like, a lot of watch guys don't get to see this type of stuff.
First glance, and that's kind of how these things are made. These things are made to look the same at first glance.
Yeah.
And you start looking at little details, and they should be identical, and they're not.
Yeah. Little things that are actually hard.
Look how your rotor moves a little differently. I can feel it. But
well, so it's more so like the engraving on the movement, the finishing. Like when you look at it up close, when you see the way that like the enamel set into the movement. It's the same thing as when you start looking at like bleeding on fake Rolexes. You can tell that that's not the best quality fake after you start pulling it apart.
This one has a fake power reserve on the back that like will move as you shake it. Like like yours that the little power reserve on the back there, if you that'll fill up. Whereas this one will go back and forth. So the functions don't matter. Don't work.
Right.
And so, the feel in the hand, that's one of the big things.
Well, because ceramic is heavy. Mm-hmm. So when it's not the right type of ceramic or the right material, there's a big difference.
That's true.
Scary world.
So this customer's, cautionary tale.
Right.
So the customer wanted to save $500, which, listen, we're not going to discount the value of $500. It's quite a bit of money. But if, you have to understand who you're dealing with, right? Do they know what they're dealing with?
Right.
And is that $500 worth losing essentially $8,000? Because from what I understand right now, the dealer that this was bought from not returning phone calls. All right? I'm going to leave it at that. But to be honest with you, he might not have the money to pay this back. Right. And that's what it comes down to.
So the problem with that is like the entire point of dealing with somebody who you're comfortable with, like gaining a relationship with us, watching the YouTube shows, becoming a customer and trading and having that frequency of transaction is so that you can trust the seller. So, right? So now the guy texts me, right? Good customer of mine texts me, hey, I want this watch. No problem. Send me the funds. I'm going to ship the watch to you. You don't have to worry about anything. You know you're taken care of. Whereas, to save $500 to go out of your way to deal with someone you never dealt with before. Right.
Which is fine. Listen, bargain hunting is an important part of this, important part of pre-owned watch buying. And we're not discounting the fact that, you want to try to get a good deal and you want to push, push whoever you're dealing with.
Right.
All right. I do the same thing. But you have to understand who you're dealing with. And so now you ask yourself, okay, well, first thoughts are, well, this guy clearly knowingly sold him a fake watch.
Right.
Do we think that's the case? I don't think so. I think that, and I've run into this in the past, so when we used to live in Miami, I would go down to the Aventura Jewelry Exchange, and I had my Panerai, and I'd go, hey, let's see what other dealers are paying for this. So I'd walk in and say, hey, guys, how much would you pay for this? And I'd show them my PAM 380. And the, Jason brought weapons today. And I would, they would look at me and say, sorry, we don't buy Panerais. And I go, why is that? We can't authenticate them. So that's the other thing. A lot of guys are not educated on these brands. If it's not a Rolex, and even still, Rolex are very heavily fake, but if it's not a Rolex or a Patek, some of these guys, they won't be able to tell the difference. So when the dealer who got this probably took it in trade from somebody else. So what most likely happened is somebody buys this overseas, right?
Sure. Yep.
Trades it with a legitimate but small-time broker. Okay, so it gets that's how it gets into the world of real watches.
Right.
Who doesn't know what the hell he's looking at?
That, and he's so small that he doesn't have, like we do, like a multi, you know, million-dollar infrastructure and watchmakers who are trained to look for this that are actually trained by Panerai to work on the watches. So when our watchmaker takes a look at that watch, says, whoa, whoa, before he even actually looks at it, says, this is not legit. Whereas this small-time guy is like, all right, cool, I'm going to put this up on the website. Probably didn't run it through, you know, any kind of inspection or anything like that. They just operate on it as-is basis.
Looks good, so it must be good.
You know?
Probably never even looked at the papers.
Yeah.
So again, so that's what happens. So somebody buys this, right, knowingly buys a fake, right? Then goes, and maybe he's got real watches, but that's what he buys. And I know some of those guys, too, do that. So he buys this, thinking it's, wow, this is basically real, right? So trades it with a small-time broker or dealer who doesn't know what he's looking at but trusts the customer or feels like, you know, has pressure to do that deal because he wants to make the money or whatever it may be. Now the watch enters the realm of real watches trading, right? So that watch gets traded again, maybe to a second, third party, whoever it may be. So then our customer contacts the guy on so he found him on eBay, then talked to him off eBay, did the deal completely off eBay, right? Made a trade, so traded him a real watch that he bought from us.
That's tough, yeah.
Right. Plus cash for that watch. So he's into this for roughly $8,000. So wanted to save $500, certainly respectable. Now he's got a worthless watch, and now he's got a fight on his hands.
Yeah. I mean, we've had this same conversation against, you know, even another real watch, but something that's gray market. Like, we've touched on that subject. Save a couple $100 now, pay for it later. It just, you really have to... If you're going to save the money, you have to know able to take that loss.
Well, that's right, too. But, I mean, I think more so than anything else, and the point that we're making here is that, you know, we talk about, you know, the difference. We've had a show which was kind of contentious about the difference between, you know, new, pre-owned, and gray market. And some people didn't want to agree with us. And they told us that we were just trying to, you know, push the... push our new watches. Listen, that's not what we're trying to say here. We're not telling you don't deal with anyone else because they can't determine what's real. But understand that there are guys out there who are in this industry who don't do the research needed in order to understand the new, like a real watch or a fake watch. So understand that not everybody who posts a watch for sale understands what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So you need to, if you're looking to get that best deal, that's respectable, go ahead and do it. But you need to educate yourself.
Right.
You can't just go willy-nilly and go and put yourself in a position like this, right?
Especially with a brand like Panerai, like Rolex, where, you know, 100% there's fakes out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if it's a Parmigiani, questionable. There's probably not a lot of, you know.
I doubt there's a fake Parmigiani. If you make a fake Parmigiani, you're wasting your time.
You know, people ask all the time about brands like Oris and stuff. There's, you know, there's not a lot of fake one-off mini brands out there. But, yeah, just do your homework. You know, be ready to take some kind of, you know, loss if you're going to try and hunt the ultimate deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, same thing. Like, you don't go on eBay to try and find, like, a vintage watch that you can refinish and pay a little bit of money.
Sorry, Clive, your bagel sport is fake. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out
now
there.
Now I know what George felt like all last episode.
But all right, guys. So
yeah, just educate yourself and know what you're buying. And if you don't know, then you call us.
Yeah.
And even if, like... Even if you're going to buy a watch somewhere else, please, you know, if you have a question,
call Jason.
Talk to a watch guy because, you know, they should be able to help
you
out.
Yeah, well, reach out to somebody who you can know and trust. And that's one of the reasons why we do something like the shows like this is that so people know we're not nameless, faceless nobodies, right? We do this every day, and we're not always perfect. We don't always make every deal. And, you know, we don't always know all the information. We're not Tim. But we have access, and we have, you know, We have the, I'm just going blank on the word I'm looking for. Help me out, Jason. The resources. Thanks, guys. We have the resources.
That came from Harrison.
Thanks, Harrison. All right. Well, yeah, we have the resources to find the answers. Because I have Tim's phone number. I know you guys don't.
Yeah, we will not give it to you.
So yeah, definitely don't ask. All right, guys. So
I think we're going to keep the show short this week.
Okay.
I did want to – we're going to go back to the polls so we can see how badly Josh beat me.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And then
– listen, don't – you can't just give up and then say, oh, well, you know, I planned on losing that one.
Nah, I mean, whatever. Ooh. Ooh, look at that.
So the Better Watch won. And listen, nobody's a bigger Panerai guy in the office than I am. Okay?
It's weird that you would abandon your brand, but
– certainly didn't abandon my brand, but – when choosing for roughly the same money if we're choosing between these two watches, by far I'm picking the Parmigiani.
Okay,
that's a better watch.
If somebody gave me the Parmigiani, I would sell it and buy the Panerai.
How much would you sell it for?
You're probably going to sell that watch realistically.
And so
I want to just get a one time this or that close up on here. And if you guys thought we were going to get away from an episode of my show, my YouTube show, along with Josh, without a knife shot, you are out of your mind.
Which one are we zooming? Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, look, Jason brought a weapon.
Look how tiny that
is. Dangerously close to the merchandise, Jason.
It's very tiny. Doing
look at that. Wow.
Look how pretty that is.
So what, is that like some sort of special type of weapon?
Yeah, so it's a Philippe Jarget. It's a custom. It's a French knife maker.
Oh, a French.
That model is called the PT. It's a nice tiny little cutter.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I'll just be sure to steer clear of you after the show here. All right, guys. So I think we're gonna go ahead and cut it down. Do we have any good questions that we can ask?
I would also recommend that if you guys like these type of box comparison type things, when we get one of these watches in the show, we can do this, you know, into the shop. We could do this again with authentic versus not, or even if it's an older style box versus new. We had some exciting stuff planned for a longer show.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
But we're going to do that next week, and I think that's pretty exciting. So we have some watches in ill condition.
Yeah,
that's going to be for next week, though. Yeah, so I'm going to go through all these comments. We'll see what shakes out.
All right, cool, guys. So, we're going to go ahead and end the show. That was a lot of fun for me. That was a little bit different show.
It was fun for
Jason, too, even though he doesn't really show
his emotions.
Happiness. Oh, look, he just smiled.
Nope.
Right.
No, I liked it, too. You know, not necessarily an assessment, but I think at the heart of it, what it is it gets into the idea of this show is supposed to be the behind the scenes, what you see on our desk and what we deal with every day.
Josh hates Jason's freedom if you only knew.
When we're talking about, you know, market assessment, that's supposed to be an inside perspective, whereas you normally wouldn't see somebody that's a watch industry face tearing down a fake next to a new. So we hope that it gave you some kind of introspective into what we do every day.
Cool, man. All right, guys. So like always, subscribe. We want to get to 50,000, right? 50,000 subscribers, so send it to all your friends, all your family, everybody you know, anyone you meet on the street. Tell them to subscribe to our channel. You can follow me on Instagram, Mr. Thanos, @MR, my last name. He's got a wonky name. We're not even going to go over it today. You can follow us on Facebook, on Friendster, on LinkedIn. Careful with that mic there. On, MySpace? What else? Foursquare, Pinterest.
Josh clearly has too much free time.
Grubhub. Catch us on Grubhub, guys. All right. Very well. Until next week, signing off. Adios.
See you.
Put your weapon away.